Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
We'll get into Fields versus Lawrence and all of it in just a moment. Those guys soon to be in the NFL. At the moment, Daniel Jones is but struggling. But let's not bury the headline. Good morning, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Good morning.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. It is Election Day, and I should mention,
get out there and vote.
Absolutely. It's a gigantic day in Hillsborough County, Florida. Hillsborough County, Florida is the home of Tampa. Tampa, Florida, where the Bucks look great off to their best eight-game start since Key and Company won the Super Bowl. Hillsborough County is also one of the most competitive counties and one of the most competitive states in America for Florida's 29 electoral votes. Just want to mention, it is Election Day. Be safe out there wherever you are. In the eyes of the world, politically and with political football, are on Hillsborough County, Florida, with the resurgent Tampa Bay Bucks. The Giants, though, Jay's Giants, anything but resurgent. Daniel Jones struggling. I want you to listen to Joe Judge, who wants to push back at all of Daniel's critics, and then we'll hear from one of Daniel's critics who's sitting about 6 feet from me.
Daniel's our quarterback. All right, what we have to do is just make sure we keep improving everything around him and that we coach every player the same way. I told Daniel on both times the play happened tonight. I just told him be patient with it, stay committed to it. We're going to need you down the stretch. We need you to make plays, and obviously in that final drive, he made a lot of big plays for us. So you just got to keep moving on. Things happen in games. You know, we're not going to go ahead and tolerate everyone on the team, you know, having a one-off type of deal. And I can't have, one-offs as coaching staffs. We've all got to hold ourselves accountable and the man next to us accountable. But Daniel's our quarterback, clearly put.
Jay?
Look, I have an affinity for Danny Dimes, okay? Key's been yelling at me for a while not to call him Danny Dimes anymore, even though every once in a while he throws some dimes, and I revert back to calling him Danny Dimes. Watching the two interceptions last night, when I hear Joe Judge talk about being patient, that's what I want him to do. I haven't been a quarterback, but I watch a lot of quarterbacks. It seems like sometimes his happy feet get him in trouble when he's in the pocket. Like he starts going in directions where he shouldn't go instead of just sitting in the pocket and making the throw, or, as you would say, throwing the ball into the third row. If you feel that pressure like he felt multiple times last night. And like I said earlier, every time I watch Ohio State play on Saturday – and I start watching Justin Fields, and I recognize that he's only thrown for 7 incompletions. 2 of those actually should have been touchdowns because they should have been caught. I start wondering about what would it be like if we had a quarterback that actually can get out of the pocket and maybe get 9 or 10 yards, but has the confidence to sit in the pocket and throw the ball with laser precision and doesn't seem to be rushed. And I have a guy like Danny Dimes who's already thrown for 9 interceptions at the halfway point of the season, where last year he threw for 12.
Well, here's what I would say in terms of the happy feet. When you start to see quarterbacks kind of drifting and getting outside the pocket and kind of just looking sporadic at times, it's because what I would deem is scared. They see too much. They start to think something's getting ready to happen to them. They see ghosts. They see flashes. They see things that are happening, and they panic. And you could tell at times Daniel Jones certainly does those sort of things. He makes some good throws here and there. He certainly has some ability. There's no question about that. But in terms of where they're at in terms of their quarterback, I think that they too, much like the Jets, have the right guy with nothing around them. He's the type of quarterback that could do some things if he could cut down his mistakes and his turnovers. I don't see him as a Aaron Rodgers type, no. Or a Russell Wilson or a Patrick Mahomes, no, not at all. But a serviceable guy that could play a very long time in the National Football League and win a hell of a lot of games. He's still relatively young in his career. Doesn't have a whole – I mean, he's out there playing with Golden Tate. God bless him. Golden Tate's okay. But Golden Tate's best years are behind him left in Seattle. Mm-hmm. So when you look at that, you start to say Evan Engram needs to be more consistent. Shepard is more of a late 2-3 type wide receiver, meaning that late 2, meaning he could be just a 3 or he could be a 3-4, depending on what team he's playing around. So it's not like he has Julio Jones that he's throwing to. He doesn't have Saquon Barkley. The offensive line is just now starting to kind of get in shape. In terms of college and Justin Fields, one of the things that you got to understand, Jay, when it comes to the NFL, much like the NBA, I like big guards in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Nothing against you. I just like big. I like 6'6", point guard, big. I just like that look. In the quarterback room in the NFL, they like a certain look. They Justin Fields may not, and we like Justin Fields because of his style, but there's quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators. We sit there and we go, man, that'd be a great quarterback for him. But they don't like that style. It's too mechanical. He runs around too much. He doesn't do exactly what we want him to do, which is stay in the pocket, deliver the football, in sync. It's the moment that he sees flash, he runs. Coaches don't like that. Some guys. So he may not necessarily be a fit for the Giants. I know for us and for you as a fan of Ohio State and a fan of Justin Fields and a fan of the Giants, you don't care. You'll take any quarterback and put him in a situation as long as you can win. But you have to think about the system.
Yeah.
And within that system, what is it that the Giants like? They've always had a certain style quarterback. Big, tall, strong in the pocket, first one in, last one out. That's the guy that they like. And it's the reality of the situation where you look at certain other teams, it's like, okay, we like that style. That's what we like. We like a more mobile guy. We like a guy that can do these sort of things. And those teams typically draft those type of QBs.
I know we need help at the linebacker position. You know, like a guy like Micah Parsons is out there from Penn State, depending upon where the Giants fall in the draft. And there are a lot of other things to address. It just, and I don't know, Key, maybe it's just the sex appeal that comes along with the quarterback position, and there's so much clout that comes along with that bravado of a position that you want to – I want to be patient with Danny Dimes as much as possible, but that patience is starting to wear thin a little bit,
though. You can't cut bait at the season and a half. You can't do that. You just can't.
All right.
You can't cut. It's too early to even tell what he is. Like, it's too early.
So can't you make that same argument applicable to Sam Darnold?
That's what I'm saying. That's why you don't hear me jumping up and down on the table talking about giving it to Sam Darnold. I played in the league and been around the league. I've seen dudes where guys go, he can't play, and they get rid of him. The dude goes somewhere else and become a Hall of Famer.
So, Zubin, I'm curious to get your opinion on this, too. And when we have our guests, we'll be able to talk to him, Greg, too. Like, I've been hearing everybody talk about Trevor Lawrence as a generational-type quarterback. Now, you smile, but I've heard multiple experts on our network say a generational-type quarterback. So, you know, I didn't hear those things said about Sam Darnold. I didn't hear those things said about Daniel Jones. So if that's the case, and we know how a lot of scouts and guys talk to people at this network about their internal perceptions of people, you don't think that's going to influence them to some degree?
Sam Darnold was taken as the third pick overall. As last I can count, that's not too far from number one overall.
I'm with you, but I didn't hear anybody call Sam Darnold generational.
We could call anybody generational if we choose to do so. That's not true, though. They do it a lot. And so I don't get caught up in what others say about him being that talented. I think he's a hell of a talent. There's no question about it. He's going to have a great career in the National Football League. But as far as the Jets go and as far as the Giants go, I believe that they got their quarterbacks in place. Archie Manning was on our show a week ago. Archie Manning, Peyton Eli's dad. I think he knows something about quarterbacks, and grandson Arch, who's doing well in high school. I think he knows a little bit about quarterbacks. The man said they got their quarterback. I didn't talk to him on the sidebar and say, yo, make sure you tell him that we on the same page. So if he's seeing that and he doesn't have any weapons around him, I don't understand how others aren't seeing it.
Well, you know, my thing is they have their quarterback until Gettleman's not there anymore. Then maybe they don't have their quarterback.
That's a different conversation, a different conversation.
Same with Adam Gase and Joe Douglas. I mean, it's the same kind of scenario, depending upon.
Well, Joe Douglas didn't draft Sam Darnold.
I know. So. That's what I said. Yeah.
We'll have to split the difference. The other side of the coin is you're right. Gettleman is tied to Daniel Jones more than he is to any other player he's had in his two stints with the Giants. But at the same token, the Arizona Cardinals and general manager Steve Keim cut bait with Josh Rosen a year after drafting him. Keim kept his job, and then they drafted Kyler Murray. So you can have the quick hook when needed. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Greg, as Jay mentioned, is Greg McElroy. We'll get his opinion as a national championship-winning quarterback himself on Lawrence and Fields coming up. up.
But let me correct you. He was the 10th pick and not the 3rd pick. That
correct.
Would be Rosen.
Correct.
Difference.
And if you want to split the difference, Danny Dimes right in the middle at 6, right? Mm. So it's just a matter of semantics in that regard. On the way, Key's real rankings. And can the league's lone unbeaten team finally make it to the top of Key's real rankings?
There's a chance?
And there's a chance they could go undefeated. We'll talk about all that. We'll
you
try to get into all that.
You love
next.
It. It's possible.
I'm not saying they're going 16-0, but if you take a look at their schedule right now at 7-0, they might not lose two the rest of the way.
What they are able to do is they're able to score early. They're able to consistently move the chains, and their defense is playing really well.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The time has arrived for Key's Real Rankings. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests, including the national championship-winning quarterback Greg McElroy, to talk Fields and Lawrence, J. at 7:30 Eastern.
I don't know if I like this. Third week in a row, Key has had 7 teams in the rankings. It used to change up 5 teams, 6 teams, 8 teams. Third week in a row, 7 teams. Don't like it.
Key, any rationale for the top 7?
No. When you get your top scientist and he get his top MBA going, then you guys could pick and choose how you choose to do.
All right, so it's
top
a lucky
scientist.
Number 7. Safe to say none of these teams will be drafting Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence because they have their quarterback, but that is our Dr. Pepper Twitter question this morning. If you had a choice, Fields, Lawrence, to be picked number 1 overall April 29th, 2021 in Cleveland, which will be the home of the 2021 NFL draft. We'll get McElroy's opinion on that as a stud college quarterback himself coming up at 7:30. So let's start it out with Key's Real Rankings, the top 7.
Number 7, Saints.
Where you at, who that?
Look, the New Orleans sits at 7. They continue to win football games despite not having Michael Thomas in the lineup. I think when they get him back, they'll certainly move up. They were on the bye this week. Really can't give them any major points. Just let them rest up and get them back against Tampa Bay on a Sunday night game next week. Number 6, the cute Cardinals.
They were cute, but they're starting to look pretty now.
Here's Arizona again. The last time we saw them, they did work to Seattle. They are on a bye. They're rested up. Although they got some COVID issues, as Cliff Kingsbury said yesterday, I think that this team will be an exciting team down the stretch right now. And they sit at 6. I don't mind having them at 6. Will they stay in the top 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 ranking as the season continues to go on? You never know where I might go. Number 5, Ravens.
Big trust. Woo woo.
You know, big trust, woo woo. I still believe that the Baltimore Ravens are one of the top 5 teams in all of the National Football League. It just that they've got to now figure out the passing game for Lamar Jackson. How can we get him going? The trade deadline is today. What are you willing to do to have him evolve as a passer so you can win a Super Bowl? The Buffalo Bills notably went out and got Stephon Diggs to help Josh Allen. Let's see if they pull off a move in Baltimore to try to help Lamar Jackson. Number four, Buccaneers.
Come on now, fellas. We got to answer the bell. Now let's go.
Yo soy fiesta.
Tom Brady screaming and hollering at his teammates. But anyway, when you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It's passionate.
You look at the Buccaneers at number four. They dip a little bit, right? They did. The Giants took them to the woodshed basically last night. If it wasn't for Danny Dimes not diming away on a two-point conversion to take it into overtime, it was one of those situations where you looked at the sloppy play of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the sloppy play of the New York Giants, which essentially gave the Buccaneers the victory. Danny Dimes is going in for a go-ahead touchdown, presumably, and he turns the ball over. Tom Brady gets the ball, go down and score. And Tampa Bay wouldn't be at four if that happened. They'd still be at a higher ranking. But because they played the way they did against the Giants, I had to drop them slightly.
Did you do that on purpose with Tom Brady in four? Did you do that on purpose?
I see what you did.
I didn't even think of it. Good shot. Number three, Seahawks.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, I like Seattle. They're one of the top three teams in the league. You drop them down slightly at number three. But when you look at it, this team is going to be there, I believe, in the NFC Championship game along with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Green Bay Packers or the New Orleans Saints. Those are the four that are fighting for that number one seed in the NFC. And I think when you look at it, Seattle, Russell Wilson playing for an MVP, I can guarantee you today, right now, at 7:21 on our show, Russell Wilson will get at least one MVP vote this year.
Mark the tape.
Number two, Steelers.
The last game was the last game. This one was us.
Here's a team that's undefeated in the National Football League, but ranked number two. And when you look at Pittsburgh, they don't win pretty. It's always kind of like ugly. It's snow. It's wet. It's rain. It's Big Ben. It's the style of play that has you really believing that they could win the thing because everything that they're doing is portable. They get the football to the receivers. They run the ball. They play good defense. It's one of those deals where Mike Tomlin knows how to coach. Top four coach in the National Football League. He's winning without Ben. He's winning with Ben. I think when you look at it, though, they don't have the type of explosiveness that Kansas City might have. So, therefore, they're number two. And number one, Kansas City.
I'm going to go get the biggest cheeseburger you've ever seen. Might be a double.
I mean, the moment that you think Kansas City, they lose to the Raiders, and you're like, then it comes out there, he throws for five touchdowns, 400-plus yards in the air. He basically did what he wanted to do against the New York Jets. And they are the cream of the crop. I mean, you can't say anything about Kansas City. Defense is playing pretty good. They got all the toys and weapons. They've inserted Le'Veon Bell into the equation now. So there's a two-headed monster in the backfield. I'm looking forward to seeing them kind of just continue to move forward and get to the playoffs because I want to see what they look like come playoff time.
To see if they can win their second Super Bowl in as many years after waiting 50 years between Super Bowl IV and 54. That's how you make it efficient. So you had the Steelers at number two, but is it too early to talk about something Key doesn't want to talk about? But we will. 16-0 talk. Remember the Dolphins, the only team, the 72 Dolphins, to go perfect the whole way. Back then, they were playing a 14-game regular season. The Pats did go perfect in the regular season in the Brady era before being tripped up by the Giants. Jay, you wanted to get into something before we go perfection possibility?
I did, just because I wanted to understand the reasoning a little bit. I know that they're undefeated, but it's interesting when I hear Key's brain and how it works because his reasoning for the Steelers were they found a way to win ugly. The game wasn't pretty. It was ugly. But then Tampa Bay, they went ugly, and they get dropped because they went ugly. So I'm trying to figure that out.
Tampa Bay's ugly win, they almost lost, right? They almost lost. Baltimore is 18 times better than the Giants. 18 times. Do the math. It's not even close.
Understood.
So when I look at the opponent, I look at the opponent, and I look at how the Giants played the Buccaneers so tough. Tampa should have lost the game.
But doesn't
there was no they should have lost that game to a team that has one victory on the year. Fighting to stay alive for a top draft pick. That's what they were doing.
I mean, but can't you say every team has those type of games? I mean, Steelers were in battles with the Texans. No, they were in battles with the Broncos.
The Texans are better than the Giants. The Texans are better than the Giants. Yeah. And when the Steelers needed to pull away from the Giants, they pulled away.
Are they, though?
Yeah.
Are they? I don't know.
Hell yeah.
I don't know about that.
Man, the Texans are way better than the Giants.
Okay. All right. I don't know about that. Just because you say it, I don't know about that.
So you want Danny Dimes and Deshaun Watson?
Oh, I'm not saying it's just, but it's just not a matchup, but just the quarterbacks.
No, but I'm just saying you want that or you want what you have.
So you're telling me, both teams, the Texans have won one game.
They're better than the Giants.
They're exponentially better than the Giants. You can just say that with conviction.
I could say it with conviction. I promise you I can. They play the Giants straight up. They're going to pop the Giants.
Okay.
Let me say this with conviction. For those of you just waking up, didn't see the end of the game last night. It was quite a doozy. The Giants score a touchdown going in for a game-tying two-point conversion. And Daniel Jones throws to the end zone looking for Deion Lewis. Antoine Winfield Jr. got in there. They initially threw a flag on a two-point conversion to tie a game late in the fourth quarter. Eventually, the flag was picked up, and the Bucs survived 25-23. They are now 6-2. So let's just go win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. Steelers schedule the rest of the way as
the
league's lone unbeaten. All right, let's start. This is an easy one, guys. We'll just spitball them back and forth. This Sunday, next up at Dallas.
Win. DiNucci, win.
Key?
Win.
Okay, then, now this is intriguing because this guy's a little better than DiNucci. Yeah. They will host the Bengals.
Win, man, stop. They're not the Bengals ain't going to beat them.
I mean, I think Joe Burrow, the way he played last game, it could be interesting if
That's
he gets
cool.
hot.
He,
but I would still have Pittsburgh favored.
Stop, man.
Then they'll go to Jacksonville.
The mustache. Stop.
Okay. That's a win.
So now we're 10-0.
Out of Ravens, that's the game.
That's the one. They'll host Baltimore Thanksgiving night in front of the entire country.
It could be interesting, but I still think that Pittsburgh, it's the same thing. What are they going to do to make a difference for Lamar Jackson in the passing game? What are they going to do? Are they going to go out and acquire an alpha dog at wide receiver? Are they going to go get me a 6'3", 210-pound, sub 4.4 guy that they're going to find somewhere?
They got 8.5 hours to do it. The deadline for Eastern
today. Go find
me
that dude. I need one of them dudes.
Well, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, they don't fear the Ravens.
As he said.
They don't fear the Ravens. So I look forward to that game.
Okay, so now we're at 11-0. Oh. Then
the only team that can beat them is the Colts. The Colts or the Ravens. Those are the two. I mean, maybe the Bills.
We'll get to the Colts
so
here
you
in
don't
a second.
Really, here's the crazy thing about it. Is the only team that can beat them in our eyes maybe like the Colts and maybe the Bills or maybe the Ravens. But there's always this team that you never think about that all of a sudden you look up and you go, oh, damn, they down by how many? You know, so you just got to be careful. That's why I'm not always 16-0, 16-0. Because as you start to get into week 13, 12, and it starts to come up even more, that pressure starts to come on, the stress level of going 16-0, that's a lot. I mean, you had this conversation about the Kansas City Chiefs. I told them, man, they not going 16-0. Then they get popped by the Raiders.
That they did. Let's run through it real quick. Week 13, as you mentioned, that 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Washington football team, obviously a win.
It should be a win, but you just never know.
That'd be an interesting game.
Kyle Allen may come out and just torch them.
And then it'll be at Buffalo. That's the one you kind of had a little trepidation about a minute ago.
Yeah, you go, okay, Buffalo, what's the environment? The flight, snow, rain, nobody in the stands. It feels like a practice. You slip up and you lose that game.
Burrow again after that?
I would love to see a team go undefeated. It just seems improbable in a year that we have COVID. We have a lot of health issues that come up. It seems so tough. I would love to see it happen, especially to a team that I said at the beginning of the year, I thought they were one of the best teams in the NFL.
And Jay, you were a little more bullish on the Colts. That would be their penultimate game, week 16, presuming they're coming in at 14-0.
Because their defense is ridiculous, and it just depends upon what Phillip Rivers you get that day.
But see, you never know. By the time they get to week 16, the division is wrapped up, the seeding is wrapped up. Now they just like, whatever.
But what about in week 17 if the Browns, their week 17 opponent, is fighting for their playoff lives?
Doesn't matter. If I'm already packed in week 17, go ahead, fight for your playoff life. Ben's not playing, so-and-so's not playing. We're resting our guys. That would be my philosophy.
So you would say at 15-0, Tony Dungy and the Colts had to deal with this before. At 15-0 with the chance for perfection, if Pittsburgh has sealed the deal and Cleveland's fighting for its life, you'd rather say, let's just lose this game, go 15-1, we got the top seed anyway.
What did any of those perfections get anybody other than Miami Dolphins?
Correct. The Colts did not win the Super Bowl that particular season. Yes.
The Colts didn't win the Super Bowl.
What?
And neither did the New England Patriots.
Jay's melting down over
here. If you're 15-0, you're telling me you don't just continue to strive for perfection, for excellence.
And the Denver Broncos were 14-2 that year. They lost to the Giants when they rolled in the Giants Stadium at
13-0. I remember that.
It just doesn't your mind, Jay. I understand from a fan's standpoint, you want to get to the 16-0. But from a coach's off front office organizational standpoint, the New England Patriots went 16-0 because they wanted to prove to people that they were not cheating and they were going to change that narrative. By look at us, we going to roll regardless of what y'all say. When other teams get there, it's just not an interest to coaches. They'd rather get out of there healthy.
Well, in a year like this, I can see where that would make sense just because the Steelers.
No, in any year, just this
I know,
year.
But especially this year because the Steelers didn't get their bye week, right, due to the COVID issue with the Titans. Is that right?
Yeah,
so they didn't get their bye week, so they're playing X amount of weeks straight. But in a normal, I don't know. That's a different conversation. If it was a normal year, I don't know.
We got a break, Jay.
I know. That's why I stopped.
Is it a hard-out break?
No, it's not a hard break.
It's just a regular
break.
Still to come in 1 minute. Fields or Lawrence? One has a national title. One's looking for his first. They met last year in the playoff. We'll ask our national title-winning quarterback who would be best at the pro level. Greg McElroy's on the way, but first, here's SportsCenter. And we welcome in Greg McElroy this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, ESPN college football analyst, but I want to ask him to extrapolate to the next level. Greg, good morning. We are asking everybody this morning on the Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN or KJNZ on Twitter, if you prefer. Who would you draft number one overall next April in Cleveland? Roger Goodell, first saying the name of Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. You've watched them both at the collegiate level. Push ahead, though, to the pro level. Better choice.
Going Trevor Lawrence. And guys, it's not that a dislike Justin Fields by any stretch of the imagination. I think he's excellent, and his best football is in front of him. Remember, this is a guy that still has only started 15 games in his career. So it's not like we're talking about some ridiculous sample size and evaluating him, and already just in the first two games of this season, he looks better than he did almost at any point last year. So I'm very encouraged by the trajectory of Justin Fields. But y'all, Trevor Lawrence is the best prospect I've watched at the quarterback spot since Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was my favorite prospect ever. So Trevor Lawrence is that close. And I would honestly argue that the gap between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields is maybe wider than the gap between Justin Fields and Trey Lance, who is, for all intents and purposes, likely the third quarterback off the board next April. So I love Trevor Lawrence. He's athletic. He obviously is remarkably gifted throwing the football. He's a capable and willing runner if needed, even though that's likely not going to be what he's asked to do in the NFL. And the other thing, he's shouldered the load and the burden of being the face of college football for the last 3 years. And the guy, obviously, this offseason, he's grown, he's mature, he's been out there on the front lines with his teammates, preaching for social justice, preaching for all these other things that show me he can carry the burden of being a billion-dollar franchise's face. And that, I think, is something that gave him even a little bit more of a bump up, even from where he was last year based on how he played on film.
I think both are very good quarterbacks. I think you make a case for Trevor Lawrence. There's no question about it. I just know that where we are today in November 3rd, opposed to where we'll be in April, is a long list of things that I got to see from both quarterbacks to make that determination that Trevor Lawrence is the next Andrew Luck, by the way, who, to me, as I always say, Greg, Andrew Luck didn't win anything in the National Football League. He was a good prospect, won AFC championship appearance, but didn't really win anything. So I kind of slowed down until I really got to dive into things 6 months from now.
Get him,
that's
Greg.
Just me.
Get
that's
him,
just
Greg.
Me.
Get
just,
him, Greg.
That's who I am.
All right. Hey, I guess we only evaluate players based on like the 8 years that they're in the league. You know, that's where we stop it. Hang on a second. So let me just, he didn't win anything. I hear you. That's fine. Didn't win a Super Bowl. Didn't get to a Super Bowl. I won't push back because I can't. Those are the facts. But he also inherited a team that went 0-16 You know, and then they took him to the playoffs in his rookie year. He also went to the Pro Bowl almost every year, and you ask anybody that's coached the quarterback position, including Bruce Arians, and if y'all look this up, it's fact. Bruce Arians said the perfect quarterback is Andrew Luck, and Bruce Arians coached Andrew Luck, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Carson Palmer. Bruce Arians have been around some of the best, Roethlisberger, and he said the best one that he's ever been around from a physical talent standpoint is Andrew Luck. And y'all, he never had the roster. His offensive line was a turnstile throughout the first 6 years of his career. His weapons, for the most part, were pretty good, but in some ways aging. His best receiver throughout a vast majority of his career was T.Y. Hilton, and he might be the second or third best receiver on the Cowboys right now. I mean, we're talking about a guy that had to do more with less than probably anyone else at the quarterback spot for a very long period of time. Indianapolis is not exactly a great organization, so I didn't think he went to an ideal circumstance and made the most of what was a difficult circumstance, and it burned him out. That's why he shut it down early.
See, I don't want to get the conversation would be too long. We got a whole bunch more to talk about in terms of the team that he inherited because, you know, the team that he inherited did have some players. Remember, Peyton Manning did leave the team, and then therefore that team was not very good. Then he comes in, and he kind of ride the ship, got him to the playoffs, did some things. But what I'm saying is it's too early to just put a stamp on Trevor Lawrence as a, you know, Andrew Luck-type guy, once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, because several years ago we said that about Sam Darnold. Several years ago we said that about other quarterbacks and other players. I just like to wait till April till we actually get him in the room, see what it looks like coming off their wrist. All of the sort of things that you have to do from a scouting standpoint before we just make a determination that he's the guy. He's the guy. I go back into drafts where it was Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf. Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning.
Get him, Greg.
You know, so when you look at it, it's like, get him, Greg.
I hear you. Hey, I feel you, Key. Like, I'm totally with you. But if you go back over the last 6 or 7 years, every single guy that was taken first overall has a knock on him except Andrew Luck. And tell me the knock on Trevor. Like, right now, seriously, tell me what is it that you're not yet 100% sure on? Well, he's played on the big stage, won national championships. All right, he's 6'6". He's 220. He's going to run 4'6", 4'5". He's obviously a remarkable leader, knowing his involvement. He's incredibly mature and makes great decisions off the field. The guy's engaged. He's a family man. Like, what? Please tell me, like, what are we trying to do?
But see, all that right there doesn't mean anything to me. I need you to win football games. So engaged and family man, that's cool. I think a lot of quarterbacks are that way.
The guy's got 33 wins.
I need you to win when you play for me in the National Football League. What you did at Clemson, that's great. I need you to win. I need you to win football games in the National Football League. I need you to help my team win. Everything that you laid out, he's great, he's this, that's cool. But come Sundays, can you help me win? That's all I care about. And I think he can. But it's too early for me to just make him the number one overall pick and say that I'm taking him over some other guys when I've yet to do a full evaluation.
Greg, he has won a lot of games at Clemson, though. How much more do you need him to win, right?
Right.
Well, you know how it goes, man. A lot of dudes win a lot of games, though, Greg. You know that. In a lot of places.
And then turn out to not be so good. I can think of one that you're looking at right now that won a lot of games in college.
I'm not talking about you.
I'm just being real. I'm not taking it personal. I'll be the first one to admit.
I think he's hell of a quarterback. This, there's no question about it. But I also like Justin Fields. And it also depends on what team is picking one. Right? I mean, it also depends on what team is picking that one.
Not really, though. To me, like, if I'm the Jets or the Giants or the Miami Dolphins, I'm taking Trevor Lawrence if I have the first overall pick. Miami Dolphins obviously owning Houston's pick. So is it likely they have it? I don't know. But I do know that Trevor Lawrence anticipates throws. Justin Fields still a little decisive. Like, there's things that I need to see from Justin Fields next 6 games. Granted, he only has 6 more games, that I have already seen Trevor Lawrence check that box. Fields hasn't checked that box yet. Doesn't mean he won't, just means he hasn't. So I need to see a lot more from Justin Fields to close that gap than I do from Trevor Lawrence to keep him at number one.
So, Greg, I just want to clarify, because a lot of people who are Jets fans or Giants fans would talk about, hey, let's hold on to Sam Darnold, let's hold on to Daniel Jones, let's potentially trade that pick to see what other assets I could potentially get for that. You're not saying that. You're saying you're taking Trevor Lawrence and you will deal with where these other quarterbacks go later.
Yeah, because if I'm a GM, if I'm Dave Gettleman in New York and I have the first overall pick, yeah, I know my guy a couple years ago was Daniel Jones, by all means. The guy's got turnover juice, man. So does Darnold. The guys are careless with the football. There's 7 or 8 amazing plays that those guys make every week, but there's also 4 plays in which they just gift wrap the ball and hand it to the other team. And I will not survive if I pass on a future Hall of Famer. Like that's the ultimate. It's not necessarily always about your misses. For instance, if you draft Trevor Lawrence at number 1 overall and he busts, who are we going to blame? Are we going to blame the Jets? Are we going to blame, you know, the Raiders like we did Jamarcus Russell? No, we blame Jamarcus Russell. You blame the number 1 overall pick. You're the number 1 overall pick for a reason. If you can't put it all together, then it's usually a reflection on the player. The team doesn't all often get criticized for not developing the number 1. However, if you pass on a future Hall of Famer, the chickens are coming home to roost at some point, and you are going to get fired because that guy will go elsewhere, a la Chicago Bears, Mitch Trubisky, Pat Mahomes. He'll go elsewhere, and he will make you pay for it every single year, and the fan base will not forget. So you can tell me all you want about, oh, well, you know, I got a guy. I like him. I like Darnold. I like Daniel Jones. I like both those guys. They're still young in their career. I still think they can be really good players in this league. But I refuse to miss out on potentially a future Hall of Famer and be in the situation that the Bears are in right now, because that is not a situation I envy.
Greg, we got just like 30 seconds to go. I'm just going to give you the teams right now, just at the top of the NFL draft, obviously subject to change as records change. Just give me a yes, no here on Trevor Lawrence, since he's by far your top guy. Right now, number 1, Jets, yes, no.
Yes, Trevor Lawrence.
Giants, number 2.
Oh, that's tough for me, because I like Daniel Jones enough. I think Justin Fields is going to end up in Jacksonville. Giants will probably go with some position player to fortify a lot of the holes that they have.
You say Fields to Jacksonville, but the Jags are sitting here at 3. Lawrence.
I think Lawrence would be great if he falls, but Fields is a pretty good consolation prize.
And then how about 5-6? Just interested. Dallas, Atlanta at 5-6.
Dallas, offensive line has just been such a problem this year, so I take the best available along the offensive line. And then Atlanta, I would strongly consider quarterback, depending on what happens with Matt Ryan down the stretch.
7, Washington, last one. They got some issues.
They have a lot of issues.
They have a lot of issues, but it starts at quarterback. So if one of the 3 guys is available, they'll go quarterback, or maybe they consider the kid from BYU, Zach Wilson, who's rising rapidly through the first round potentially.
Wilson's having an unbelievable season. Saw him the last 2 Saturday nights on ESPN. He can throw it, certainly, as many BYU signal callers have. You got to give Key credit. He got you fired up for your radio show starting this morning at 9 a.m.
Very entertaining, Greg. I took the whole segment off. This was great.
Hey, man, we see things different, that's all.
And we'll see you on Get Up at the top of the hour.
Hey, agree to disagree. It's all in love. It's no problem.
No doubt. Greg, thanks very much. We'll see you at the top of the hour on ESPN. We'll hear you on the radio in just over an hour. That's Greg McElroy on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oil is made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof's in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. On the way, a college head coach entering the biggest game of his young career at an SEC powerhouse, and he provides the distraction on game week. We'll get to that after Key.
You want to know the best part about college football? Anything can happen as long as you have the drive. Whatever on the field or on the edge of your seat, Goodyear wants you to embrace the unexpected, to take every epic upset, touchdown, fourth quarter comeback in stride, and let it move you, no matter what the reason the season throws your way. Goodyear is here to help drive you forward. Visit Goodyear.com to find what moves you. Goodyear.more driven.
If they want to move, we might be able to bring him to L.A., though, for the Lakers.
Him, LeBron, A.D., that's your whole team in cap space.
Yeah, but that's all you need, and a bunch of me's and you's.
Hey, look, me's is different than you's. You better stop putting us in the same category.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Missouri and Florida players kind of mixing it up a little bit. Dan Mumden is right out there. Now we got something going on now because both benches are out there in the middle of the field. And it's a real skirmish. And it is a real Donnybrook right now.
Yeah, there going to be some people kicked out of this game.
Fists are flying, and this is an ugly scene.
And that was Mick Hubert from Learfield IMG College. What you're hearing right now is Florida Georgia Line, the musical group, right underneath our voices. And the reason we mention that, it is Florida Georgia Week, which has been drowned out considerably because it's all about Notre Dame and Clemson this week in South Bend. That was a huge brawl you just heard there from Mick Hubert. Florida and Missouri, Gators roll by 24 points. Yes. But after that brawl, the coach Mullen has been fined $25,000 and issued a reprimand for what the SEC is calling, quote, governing sportsmanship. Commissioner Sankey, quote, there is no place in college football for that kind of incident that took place at halftime of the Missouri at Florida game Saturday night. He is the commissioner of the SEC. This leads to a larger question, which is simply put, Florida is playing Georgia this week. Gigantic game. The last couple of years, Georgia has dominated. In the Mullen era, he was the offensive coordinator when Tim Tebow, one of your favorite college quarterbacks, was at Florida. But now he returns as the head coach. They lost to Georgia in his first year, 36-17. They lost last year, 24-17. Mullen is 24-6. He's done a remarkable job. The offense looks way better, closer to Spurrier levels than it has in a long time. But what do you make of the fact that he gets fined? He's the story as they set up for, it is early, by far the biggest game of the Mullen era, the winner of the SEC East, presumably getting Alabama.
But I don't understand why he got fined. I don't.
He kind of came back out.
He came back in the tunnel, raised his hands, got everybody pumped up.
There was that stuff going on.
It's stupid.
If anything, while they were brawling, he should have been trying to, instead of going after the referees, he should have been trying to get in between, like get in between his players and pull them back and just kind of, you know, because I'm sure if he'd have did that and put his hands up and pushed back with his assistants, they kind of could have stopped, if anything. But then coming back out the tunnel and raising it, whatever. I mean, he's firing up his fans. Whatever.
Can I say something, though?
In the crowd.
I would have loved to see Mike McCarthy do this to a degree for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, look, Kyle Trask got hit standing up.
That's
it was
true.
A late hit. And by the way, I don't condone violence, but that's the response you want from your team when your QB gets hit like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's the response you want from your team.
No question.
You're going to do that? Then we're about to take it to the next level. It's not the right thing, but I have to protect our QB.
You have to protect your teammates. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and the kids do have to answer some of these unnecessary questions. They just want to focus on Georgia. This is a big game for control
just
of the
saying,
SEC.
New York team, Georgia, Jake Fromm.
Jake Fromm, Jakey's. I love them all, but I also love Quincy Carter. So how about that? Okay, I love them all. Come on.
This would have been nice to see some Dallas Cowboy players get angry and do something.
Show some emotion on the way.
Eric
Fields
Zaire
or Lawrence, you tell us who should be picked first next April. That's next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.